Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. We live in an imperfect world where imperfect people make imperfect decisions, even if those decisions are fueled by the best of intentions. You and I are imperfect. We do and will make mistakes. There will be instances when we will surely disappoint not just the ones we love, but both neighbor and stranger alike. Sometimes we do things without thinking them through properly. Indeed, sometimes we do things which are seemingly done out of love, but in the end only manage to inflict harm. A lie is a prime example. There are times when we lie, but we do so, or we think we do so, in the name of love, if we think that it will be to that person's or even our benefit to shelter them in a way. We think of lies as shields, protecting us and the ones we love from harm. But you and I know firsthand that those lies, rather than the truth, end up causing the most harm in the end. After all, a lie is still a lie. The current state of our Supreme Court, however well-intentioned, has chosen to redefine what we know to be truth in its decision to effectively define marriage as legal between any two consenting adults throughout our country, regardless of their biological sex. And this decision, and tragically so, is a lie that is being fed and impressed upon the citizens of our country because it is a perversion of what we, the church, understand and proclaim marriage to be. If I may read to you the sentiments of Bishop Thomas. With the creation of marriage by God for Adam and Eve, the first human bond was instituted. This bond preceded all other social bonds of humanity, including not just governments, but even the covenants that he himself instituted. It is fundamental to human nature that marriage consists of one man and one woman in a lifelong exclusive bond. Marriage is therefore not about private desire, but about the complementary conjugal bond of family as created by God and blessed by him. It is only within that blessed bond that sexuality finds its proper expression. All other sexual behavior, whether between a homosexual couple, an unmarried heterosexual couple, multiple people, a person by himself, or anything else, is sinful, meaning that it distorts our relationship with God, each other, and ourselves. Yet such actions, including their sanction by entering into one of these new legal unions, which are not truly marriages, can always be repented of. No one is a lost cause. No one is our enemy. You see, this entire ordeal requires a reorientation on our part of just who the enemy is and its intentions. People are not the enemy. Sin is the enemy. This is the war in which we find ourselves fighting in. It is a daily fight against sin, a fight for the salvation of each and everyone's soul. Let me remind you of Bishop Thomas's words once again. No one is a lost cause. No one is our enemy. If we let people be the enemy, then sin has won. But how do we combat such an adversary? How can we possibly take the fight to sin and help liberate not just ourselves, for we are all sinners, but all of humanity from the chains of sin? This morning's epistle from Peter is a perfect place for us to start. As he begins, "Dearly beloved, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, rendering not evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Do you want to know the most effective ammunition we can offer against sin? We love. We have compassion on each other. We likewise love ourselves, knowing that the image and likeness of God has been imprinted upon us and all men. All were created out of the love of God, in order that we might return that love unto him. As 1 John chapter 4 reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" These wonderful and yet sobering words take us to the heart of this morning's gospel. Here Jesus is speaking about what true righteousness is, and how it extends far further than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, whose righteousness is more for show and appearance sake. On the inside, they are callous and indifferent to God and what it means to truly love their neighbor, for their righteousness is a self-righteousness and nothing more. Christ calls them out as he says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, 'Thou shalt not kill,' and 'Whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." And I believe that what is at the heart of what Christ is proclaiming here, in speaking of reconciliation with one's brother, Christ is painting a picture for us of what the virtue of love looks like when put into practice. You see, out of love comes the desire for reconciliation. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The path to righteousness begins with love. And we are all called to love as Christ loves us. Not holding anything against each other, but offering ourselves to each other in an attitude of love. That means loving one another, stranger and friend alike, without prejudice. Even those 2 million people whom we have seen and heard about in the news, upon hearing the decision to redefine marriage, chose to flood the streets of Sao Paulo, Brazil, and recreate the crucifixion of our Lord. A transgendered actress played the part of dressing up like Jesus, being whipped until she bled, and then being crucified. And at first, I have to tell you, I was appalled. I was angry that they would do such a thing as to openly mock God. But after a while, I realized something. Such a display does nothing in terms of inflicting pain towards God, as Christ has already endured the scourging of the world and pronounced victory over it through his resurrection. But rather, it is a depiction of the pain that is still present within humanity. That mock crucifixion is a proper portrayal of the effects of sin on fallen humanity. And how do we overcome such things? How do we combat such ugliness and displays of degradation? We love as Christ loves us. For by Christ's love, and that love only, can the world be reconciled. Can the world live? Can the world be saved? And this is not always the easiest thing to do, I know. But it is what we are called to do. As I was peering across various posts on Facebook this week, I came across an article with the headline that read, "Love Wins!" Exclamation point. And below was a video of a beating that a Christian preacher endured as he picketed a gay pride parade on the streets of Seattle. Now, obviously, the headline was meant to be sarcastic, but nonetheless, I decided to watch the video for myself. In this video was a preacher dressed in street clothes, holding a sign that listed a number of grave sins on the front, and then the image of fire, the fires of hell on the back. A few marchers took exception to the sign, and in fact were provoked by it, and in the end ended up destroying the sign and tackling the preacher to the ground, whereby he suffered a few punches to his back and face. And as I read the Facebook responses below the video, I could not help but notice that people were getting caught up in this social melee between sexual preference and more or less commenting on the beating itself or voicing their outrage over homosexuality. Even the headline, "Love Wins," was meant to mock homosexuals to a degree. But in my spirit, I felt that they were all missing the point. And so I posted my response, which I know came not from me, but was God inspired as part of preparation for this morning's sermon. And I said, the overarching point is that if you are truly trying to encourage repentance, no matter the sin, holding up a sign with the flames of hell on the back probably isn't the best place to start. If you really want to win people over, you need to be above such things, including degrading signs and offensive displays concerning the church, and show compassion. We are all sinners, and all are called to work out our salvation daily, God willing, persevering over those particular sins we do struggle with. And as I've read over these words this morning, I remembered the words of Bishop Thomas when he said that we are all sinners. Even if you do not have one temptation or one sin, you have others. So we do not condemn anyone for any reason. In love and faith, we hold out the hope of salvation through repentance for every human person. My friends, that is how love wins. We love and have compassion on one another, no matter the cost, no matter how egregious we may have perceived the actions of others to be. We love because Christ first loved us. If we truly want love to win, we stand on the sidelines of such marches and pray for these people, as well as pray for ourselves. We pray quietly, not condemning anyone, but drawing all to Christ through prayer, and we surely don't hold up signs passing judgment on anybody. That applies to all aspects of our lives as well. We venture through life with the banner of Christ's love. That's it. That is how love wins. Love wins when we uphold the teaching of our Orthodox faith, but in a non-obtrusive way. Love wins when we acknowledge our own faults before the faults of others. Love wins when we support our fallen brethren and treat them with compassion and respect. After all, they ultimately seek to know the love of Christ just the same as you and me, even if they are not yet aware of it. Love wins when we come to the altar with a pure heart and receive the Holy Eucharist. Love wins when we exalt ourselves to fight for and uphold God's truth above all else. Love wins when we seek that communion with God. Our entire life is expressed in love. For where there is no love, God is absent, and there is no spiritual life. Where love is, God is, and all righteousness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.